Psalm 100. With this being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we wanted to do a lesson on Thanksgiving. You say, well, I already know what Thanksgiving is, preacher. What you're going to learn this morning is nobody here, including myself, is naturally thankful. The only reason you're thankful is because you make yourself thank God. But nobody here wakes up naturally every morning and goes, thank you, Lord, for life and the new day and whoo! Thank you for... You thank God for what you make yourself thank God for. And if you aren't careful, do you know what the warning is in the Bible? That we'll forget. We'll forget what God's done for us. So watch this. Look at Psalm 100 in your Bible. Notice this. It says, verse 1, just five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. When you see that verse number 2, come before His presence with singing. Then when you see verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. If you aren't careful, you're going to think that it is like the tabernacle, with this being the gate, and this being the outer court, and this being the inner court. That is not what that's talking about. When God used David to pen this, this did not exist. This had been destroyed by the Philistines. And the only thing that was left was the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence. And David made the tabernacle of David a place where they sang 24 hours a day, day and night. And when you decided, other than the Sabbath, also on the Sabbath, but day and night, when you went to the tabernacle in Jerusalem, it was a tent, not like this. It was a tent with the ark right there. And you could come into God's presence, and there were people that would meet you saying, can we sing together? Can I pray with you? And you came into the Lord's presence with singing, and whenever you went to the tabernacle of David, this is until Solomon's temple was built. Before that, nobody went into God's presence. It was a cloud by day and a fire by night, right? But the priest only went in here once a year. And God says, if anybody else did that, He'd kill him. So when this was destroyed by the Philistines and David set up the tabernacle, for it was about a 45, 50 year time frame, you went into God's presence every time you went. There was singing. David organized it 24 hours a day. And you praised God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And that's what this psalm is talking about. Now, when you look at this psalm, to do that, notice it says, number one, serve the Lord with gladness. Then it says, come before His presence with singing. What are some attitudes of thankfulness? Look, God commands us to sing and praise Him. We're commanded to. Well, I can't hold a tune in a bucket. I just can't sing. Whether you can sing or not, God tells you to sing to Him. You're commanded by God to praise Him. So this morning when I'll say, take your songbook, open it up to this page, you may not know the song. Well, learn it. Amen. That's one reason we review them and things. But during the week, pick a song. Pick a song and sing to the Lord. God should hear you sing to Him out of thankfulness. I don't know what, take the song we just sang. Could you sing that this week? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Could you sing that to the Lord this week? Yourself. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. There ought to be times you sing to God. You praise Him with song because of what He's done in your life. Notice this. It says singing, then it says recognize Him as our Creator. Watch this. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Look, I told you Wednesday night when we were looking at evolution and creation, and the dangers of evolution, people don't like to admit that God created them, because if God created you, and He did, then He owns you. But if you evolved from a rock and a monkey and some bacteria and some primordial soup, you know what I mean, however they want to describe it, then you just evolved, then I guess that would leave room for pride, and you could think you're more evolved than somebody else. A lot of room there for pride, right? Instead of God made you the way you are, and you owe God. We are His people. And it says here, He hath made us, and not we ourselves. Which lets me know this. I'm thankful for what God lets me do. Any talents I have is what God gave me. I know some guys, they're more athletic than others. Instead of being proud about it, they could be thankful to the Lord that God gave them that ability, instead of thinking, I'm better than you. I know some girls are more attractive than others, and the attractive girls sometimes can get snooty and proud, instead of thankful that that's how God made them. They didn't have anything to do with how they look. If you have the attitude that God created you, and God made you, then if you do have a handicap, then you can rest knowing by the grace of God I am what I am, and I am just the way God wants me to be, versus how come I can't be like so-and-so. He hath made us, and not we have not made ourselves. By the grace of God, we are what we are. The attitude, the thankfulness, Lord, You gave me what I have. I'm this tall because You made me this way. My ears are this big because You made... My nose, I have a huge nose. My schnoz is like super schnoz, okay? My wife has a little bitty nose. Between us, our kids have perfect noses. No, I'm just kidding. When somebody says, how come you have such a big nose? Because it's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God made me the way I am because He's made me. I had nothing to do with it, and I can thank the Lord for that. How do you enter into His presence with thanksgiving and thankfulness? It's the attitude of knowing that He's our Creator and the Lord is good. And then at the end of it, it says here, it says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth, or the Bible, endureth to all generations. So I can trust His Word. If I'm going to know the Lord, that He is God, then let me just think out loud just for a second. You ready? First of all, who is God? He's holy. 1 Peter 1:16, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Then God is loving. 1 John 4:8, God is love. So God's holy, He's loving. And then in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God's just. You say, what does that have to do with anything? God's fair, even when I don't think He is. When things don't go my way, God's still just and God's still fair. And I know people who think God has to meet their requirements of fairness, and we don't see it all. So then when things don't go their way, they get angry at God, and then they say, what? God cheated me, or God isn't fair. No. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, just and right is He. This is a very important truth for you to understand about God. Look, every time something happens that I don't understand, you know where I go to? God's holy and God's love. And I always ask the question, when the miscarriage happens, that's hard. When the child's life is taken at a young age, it's like the younger they are, the harder it is. You know how I deal with that? Does God love the child? Yes, He does. Does God love the parents? Yes, He does. Does God love the child more than the parents? Yes, He does. Then I don't know how it's going to work out. And I don't know why it happened. I just know this. Because God's love and God would never do anything to hurt you, everything's going to be okay. That's how I deal with that. Because God's holy and God is love and God is fair. He's most high, right? I told you that last week. He's most high because His vantage point, He sees it all. He sees past, future, present. He sees everything. I only see now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He does. There's things I have to trust Him for. And there's many things that happen in life that I don't understand. And there's going to be more things I'm going to have to deal with next year, if Jesus tarries, that I cannot explain. I just go back to, He's holy, He's loving. He's just. He is the Creator. John 1:3. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus is the Creator. Hebrews 1:3. He spoke the world into existence. He's all-powerful. Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. All authority. Ephesians 3:20. He is all-powerful. He is worthy. Who is God? The God of the Bible is worthy of our praise. Deuteronomy 4:39, Isaiah 45:5-6, where God says, I am God and there is none else beside me. I am the Savior. There is no other. He's worthy of our praise. And He is the only one. I love this thought. There's not a whole lot of gods that died for you. There's a lot of gods and religions out there. But all of them tell you to try to work your way to their paradise. There's only one God who created you and then came down to this earth and died in your place and then rose again and gives you the choice to believe in Him. You don't have a choice of two. Amen? You don't have a choice of three. There's only one. And God says, I am the only Savior. There is no one like me. There's a lot of false religions, but there's no God like our God. Amen? Watch this. That is my King. He is not ashamed to be called our God. That is my shepherd. This God here. He's my King. He's my shepherd. Psalm 23. Now, here's where I want you to think about. As He is our God, we are His people by His saving grace. Two thoughts. Ready? When God called out Abraham and said, I'm going to use you and to bring the Messiah into the world. I'm going to use you to develop a nation and grow a nation. And from that nation will come the Messiah. But you, Abraham, God says, I'm going to call you out. Do y'all realize since God did that in Genesis 12, Israel still exists. They're an eternal people because of God's choice and choosing them, right? Now think with this. Second thought. When God chose you and God saved you, you're His eternal people. Just like Israel is. That's why once saved, always saved. Amen? God saved you by His grace. There wasn't anything you did to deserve it. You weren't a wonderful, loving person. God saved you, and you're His forever, just like Israel is. Amen? The gifts and calling of God, Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This is just a beautiful thought. Who is our God? He's a God that before you were saved, I love this thought. He knew how you would disappoint Him and break His heart. He knew how you would sin, and He still saved you. Isn't that wonderful? God knew all of my shortcomings, everything that I could not do for Him, every place I would fail Him. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What's that mean? God never changes His mind. I love this thought. Romans 11:29. God never changes His mind, and God never unloves you. God never says, well, you know, that Nash character, man, what a rascal. You know, I wish I'd never saved him. God never says that. He fails in that. He failed again and again. I'm so glad God never changes His mind. He never unloves you. He never unsaves you. Amen? No matter what you do, that's because God saved you by His grace. That is our God. Now, wait a second. We're going to go into Deuteronomy 8 here in just a second. But if that's all you knew about God, isn't that enough to thank Him for? Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you're greater than I am. Aren't you glad, God? You know, I made mention of this last week. Aren't you glad God doesn't love like you love? Most of us, if other people treated us like we treat God, we'd write them off a long time ago. We don't put up with how others treat us if we treat. It's okay for us to treat God that way, but it's not okay for others to do that. Aren't you glad God's more patient with you than you are with other people? Isn't that enough to thank God for? God, thank you. I thank God all the time. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with me. Amen? God hasn't quit on me. God hasn't said, fine, 10th time you did it, fine, right? God never writes me off. And if I'm not careful, when people... I've been lied to. Look, I'm a preacher. That's what I specialize in, dealing with people's lies. I've been lied to so many times now. But lying, when I got saved, lying was the one thing that if you did it one time, you were done. And God had to beat that out of me. Best I'll tell you. Now when somebody says, hey, I'll be at church, I'm like, good, love to see you. And if they're not, I still pray for them. Say, everything's fine. It's all good. When somebody says, hey, I'll be there, and then they'll tell me 10 times. I'm used to that. And you know what? If I ever get frustrated with it, I always go, have you fulfilled all the things you told God you were going to do? You ain't Mr. Perfect. Amen. You're full of holes. I'm talking to me. Amen. Isn't that enough to thank the Lord for? God's good. God's worthy of our praise. And God should get a lot more praise than He does from us. That's Psalm 100. Looking at that, thinking about that, some beautiful thoughts. Now go to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy, fifth book of your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, while you go to Deuteronomy 8, let me give you this thought. Psalm 41 and 42 ask this question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you depressed? Right? That's cast down. And when you read this, Psalm 41 and 42, it tells you the only way out of depression and self-pity is gratitude and thankfulness. Somebody sent me something in the mail this week that gave some stats, and then it gave this ridiculous article on music, and man, I got frustrated because this is a very influential church, very influential college. There, I just got furious, slammed the thing down, came in here, and my spirit was here. This was on Wednesday. I was furious. I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, this ain't right. How can the world, if somebody doesn't start policing the music, things are going contemporary so fast, Lord. And you know how I was tempted. I will say this, I was down. And I remembered, because as I was preparing the lesson, I said, I don't think I need to go to church and enter the pulpit this down on a Wednesday night. And you know how I pulled myself up? Thankfulness. I had to pull myself out of it. I just started saying, Lord, I don't need to focus on that right now. I need to focus on what you've done for me. I need to focus, and I start walking around our church, and I start thanking the Lord for everybody. I start thanking the Lord, and I start asking the Lord to help you and be with you. And Lord, thank you for this family, and thank you for this person, and thank you for this person. And Lord, look what you've done in our church. And then I go outside, and I look at our 10 acres, and I just think, Lord, you sure have blessed us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I had to pull myself up. Do you know how you do it? Psalm 41 and Psalm 42 will tell you, if ever you get in a pity party, when you need to boost yourself, make yourself thank God. It won't be natural. Somebody say, well, I'll thank God when I feel like it. Why? Okay, now wait a second. If you would fake it until you make it, it'll help you. If you would make yourself thank God when you don't feel like thanking God, it does lift you. It lubricates everything, helps everything go smooth. Well, I don't feel like praising God. Well, praise Him anyways. Make yourself sing. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Pick a song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Make yourself sing. Make yourself thank God. And watch what happens to your attitude. And if you don't, you just keep spiraling downwards. I've experienced that. I've experienced depression. I've experienced the self-pity party. I've experienced wallowing in self. And if you aren't careful, you start to enjoy it. And you have to find something to boost yourself out. Psalm 41 and 42. I just thought I would... Look, I had to use that this week. It helped me. I thought it'd be a help to you. You're at Deuteronomy 8. Ready? Watch this. God says this, all the commandments, verse 1, which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do that ye may live. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Deuteronomy, the second law. Okay, the first law is in Exodus. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law to the young people before they go into the promised land, right? So God said, for 40 years I've led you, and God says, I want you to remember. what I've done in your life. I wrote that down. Remember how God led you. Everybody in here, God used certain circumstances to get you to the point where you could be saved. You may have been saved at a young age, at a teenager, or as an older person. It doesn't make any difference. God led you. And there were things God allowed to break in your life so that you could see He was the one you needed to put your trust. God says, remember that. Remember that. I remember what it took to get me saved. God says, I don't want you to ever forget that. Now, God's talking to the Israelites that way. He's talking to us. Remember what I did in your life. Look at verse number 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Can you imagine? They wore the same. They had two sets of clothes. They wore the same clothing for 40 years. We don't know how to cope with that. We'd be like, that's poverty. You know what God is saying? God is saying, for 40 years you wandered in the wilderness and I made your clothes last. They'd take off one pair of clothes, put on another, and then they'd scrub them on rocks. Scrub clothes with rocks. That'd wear them out pretty quick, wouldn't it? But to where God says, I want you to remember how I've provided for you and how your clothes lasted 40 years. And you never had a new pair of shoes. The same shoes, the soles never wore out. God says, I did that. I want you to remember how I've provided for you. Look at verse 5. God says this, Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. What's chasten mean? It means to properly punish for wrong. And God doesn't copy us. We're supposed to copy God. And just like God spanks us when we do wrong, God says a dad is also supposed to properly spank his children. Timeouts do not work. They've already filled the jails. We've been doing timeouts for, I think, what, 25 years now in daycare? It doesn't work. The blueness of the wound cleanseth the soul of a child. The rod drives foolishness far from the heart of a child. Children properly spanked are happy children. Where did you learn that from? How God deals with you? Did you know God never counts to three? We do, and we teach our kids to disobey. One. The kid knows he has till three. He doesn't have to stop at two. You know what counting does? It teaches them to disobey. And normally in homes where the kids aren't spanked, there's yelling and there's verbal abuse. My dad never raised his voice. He said, son, I'll tell you one time. Once. That's it. And then, now, my dad, a little, amen, every dad's different. But my dad said he and his brother were whipped with coat hangers by his dad. That was in the 50s. Now, I'm not for whipping your kids. I'm not for abusing the kids. But my dad always said, son, if I spank you, I'll kill you. So my dad, now my mom was a whole different story. She'd grab me. I mean, we did the whole dancing duo there. Like, it was nothing short of awesome. My mom would beat the tar out of me. But my dad, you got one thing. My dad said, I'll tell you one time. And then I remember my dad said, light those fireworks over there. I lit them over here. He walked right up. Pow! He would knock me on top of the head. That... He'd rock my world. That's how my dad disciplined.
And who I am the way I am today. It didn't affect me a whole lot, though.
No, I'm just kidding. All I'm saying is in your Bible, God says, I want you to remember how I dealt with you when you did wrong. And I never stopped being your father. I never cast you aside. Do you realize 40 years in the wilderness, God still provided for them every day food, bread in the morning, and meat at night. Even when you're backslid and you don't care about God, God still takes care of you. And God says, I'll spank you, but you never stop being my child. There's so many lessons in this, and if you'll notice, if you read it on your own, I'll just draw your attention to this and then we'll shut her down. God says, beware lest you forget. This week is Thanksgiving week, and we want to do a Sunday school lesson on thankfulness. And if you don't make yourself thank the Lord, you won't. I don't care. There has to be some time on Thursday. Some time. I think there should be a time every day where you thank the Lord. And I hope this is an encouragement to you. We have a lot to praise God for, don't we? He's a good God. We have a good God.